We open our Bibles together tonight to God's Word in the prophecy of Isaiah. We'll start our reading in Isaiah chapter 42 at verse 18. We will read through the seventh verse of Isaiah 43. The portion of Scripture that we consider an application of our having been at the Lord's table this morning will be the verses 1 and 2, Isaiah 43, 1 and 2. Beginning now to read in God's Word, the inspired, infallible Word of God, in Isaiah 42, verse 18. Hear, ye deaf, and look, ye blind, that ye may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? Seeing many things, but thou observest not, opening the ears, but he heareth not. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth, for a spoil, and none saith, restore. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for a spoil, and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord, he against whom we have sinned? For they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto his law. Therefore he hath poured upon him the fury of his anger and the strength of battle, and it hath set him on fire round about. Yet he knew not, and it burned him, yet he laid it not to heart. But now, thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even every one that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. We stop at that point, asking for the Holy Spirit to illumine and to reverence God's word in our hearts. Again, our text is verses 1 and 2 of the 43rd chapter. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. What a glorious encouragement that God speaks to you and me personally in his word tonight. He who has created us spiritually, who has formed us in our faith and in Jesus Christ, He who at the table of communion swore again to us this morning that he has purchased us in the blood of his Son, he has redeemed us. He who has called us by our name to saving fellowship with Jesus Christ. The God of the Lord's Supper, as we leave that supper, says to us, fear not. Live your life without fear. He promises us that I will be with you in your deepest distress, when you walk through the waters and when you pass through the fire. Under every conceivable circumstance of life, in every moment, no matter what it may be, you need not be afraid. When these words of divine encouragement and promise are heard within the chambers of that new heart in Jesus Christ, when these words are sealed to us at the table of the Lord's Supper, then we may go out this week from God's house in deep assurance and comfort and encourage. Even more amazing are these words of God unto us, his children, when we look at them against the dark background of the context. The last part of Isaiah 42 that we read, the words, but now, in our text, are almost shocking words. God, in the context, said that he was going to give his people, Judah, over to be robbed and to be plundered. He said that they would not hear, that they did not see. He said that they believed that they were perfect, that is, they were self-content, they were self-satisfied in themselves. And God said, in the way of their sin, they were going to live in holes and in prisons. They would have no hope of deliverance. There would be no one who would even whisper the word restore, for they were proud, they were full of themselves. They were spiritually blind. They were deaf. They did not lay the truth to their heart. And God would give them over to the spoil of the Babylonians. And then comes the very next verse. Remember, chapter divisions were added to the scriptures. The very next verse is, but now, Israel, fear not. The Lord will yet have mercy upon his own children in that apostate Judah, that they would still have source of comfort, that God would be with them. But now means that although it would be a time when everything appeared to Judah to be ruined and to be utterly lost, God would not cease to comfort his own people in Judah, and he would gently soothe their sorrow. So God's word to us, in the midst of our own extreme despairs, sometimes in the midst of God's chastenings for our own sins. But now, saith the Lord, I am going to preserve you, my child, in your hope unshaken. Fear not, I am with thee. These glorious words then of encouragement are not fluff. They are needed. They are needed in our day. They are needed for you as young people. Fear is the dominant characteristic of life because of sin. God said to Adam, wherefore art thou, Adam? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. And ever since, the dominant characteristic of human life is fear. As God's children, we have fears. There can be in us at times overwhelming consciousness of our guilt and sin. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. There can be the fear that comes to us because by grace we are not of this world. We are pilgrims and strangers. And more we experience that rejection of this present world when we walk in the way of truth. We see that Antichrist spirit is rising up in this world. There is an open contempt of God, of Christianity, and of Christians. There's the ridicule of the Bible. There's the ridicule of godliness. There's the hatred of the church. There's the labeling of the church that believes the scriptures as hypocrites and as bigots. There's persecution. And there's continued pressure to conform our life, especially our lives as young men and women, to this present world. And to turn our heels, to simply turn our heels upon everything that we have ever been taught and confessed in our church. There's fear tonight in society all around us, in politics, among nations, in economy. We began our service with the words of Jesus in the last days, men's hearts failing them with fear for looking for those things that are coming upon the earth, for the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. There are personal fears. Sickness and cancer and death and loss of job and being accepted and troubles in marriage and what do other people think. And then there are the deceits of the devil and temptation. Fears, fears. The Apostle Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 5. He found at a certain time, especially as the apostle, there were fears on every side. And then there were fears within. Are you afraid? Listen, Jacob, Israel, fear not, for I am with thee. We may live life without fear. Facing life without fear, let's see the basis for this, the promise that is built upon it, and finally the experience. The basis that is the foundation of living a life without any fear is given in verse 1. But now saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. The basis is God. The God of the Bible. The God who has done all things for us and in us. The knowledge of God, covenant God, who has graciously taken us to himself in Jesus Christ so that we are his children on the earth. There are, the text is well known, I trust, and familiar, is much love, because this text is one of those texts where there are so many streams of beautiful truth converging right in verse 1. It is one of the most concise and beautiful summary verses. It's a verse that God intends us to wear on our souls. And oh, if our hearts know the reality of what God is saying in that verse, just in that verse, if in the words of Jesus, my words, these words, abide in you, if they abide in you and me, we will live our life without fear. But now before we unpack those beautiful truths in verse 1, let's just see, if only briefly, to whom are they addressed? Well, the words are being addressed to God's people. They are being addressed to the church of Jesus Christ. These words are not a general statement to all men. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. God is speaking to his covenant people in the old dispensation. He is speaking to us, his church. That became very plain as we continued in that beautiful passage, verses 4 through 7, where God spoke of his eternal love and his purposes that we would be glorified in Christ. The Bible distinguishes between the people of this world, of which by nature we would be a part, and the people of God. This is the distinction, the simple distinction that God has made, that the world wants to erase and say, we are all serving the same God. We are all of one. It doesn't matter what you call it. We're all religious. We're just religious in different ways. This is the distinction that the church in apostasy wants to blur and destroy. But to destroy that distinction between the church and the world is simply to reject the whole Bible, is to throw the whole Bible out. When God says, fear not, He is not talking to those who are apart from Jesus Christ, outside of Him, in proud rebellion. He's talking to His people. At this time, He was not talking to the Babylonians. He was not talking to the Egyptians. He was talking to Jacob. The promise of fearlessness is a promise that belongs to God's people, to the church, to us by grace. God's word to the world is repent. For fearlessness is the fruit of the gospel. Fearlessness cannot be found in some ism, in some psychology, in some inner peace with oneself. Fearlessness is found in what Jesus Christ has done for us upon the cross. It is not for all. It can't be purchased. It can't be possessed by all. It is impossible for a man or a woman apart from God to be free from fear. For the Bible says, fear is their portion. The Bible says that there remains, apart from Jesus Christ, only a fearful looking for the day of judgment. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. When the gospel is preached and the gospel is rejected, when it is rejected, there remains only fear. Fear's cure for you and me is found in Jesus Christ. Now, what is the basis of that fear? He says, fear not. And it was certainly not because there was no reason to fear, for Babylonian captivity was just about to come. The roof was about to cave in. But if you follow the text, God gives three reasons why we should not fear. First of all, fear not because God has created and formed you. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel. And those words created and formed here refer to spiritual creation. It is true that God has created and formed us physically in our bodies. He is our creator, exactly as we are. But the Lord here means not that wonder of physical creation of which He is the author, but He means that even greater marvel of our spiritual recreation out of sin and death through regeneration. The meaning is Ephesians 2 verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. The meaning of formed is Galatians 4:19, where the apostle says that he was concerned of the Galatians, his little children, that Christ be formed in you. As creation was out of absolutely nothing, so we were created spiritually out of nothing but God's own free grace. There is nothing existing in you or anything possible whereby God could work with that. But He created us by His grace in Jesus Christ. He gave to us the new life of Christ in our hearts, and He formed us. And that word formed means to make for a purpose. God gave us a spiritual life, and He is forming that spiritual life for a purpose in Jesus Christ. The basis of freedom from fear is what God has done within us when spiritually He regenerated us and He made us. Here's the point. Let me give it to you in the words of Scripture. Psalm 138, verse 8. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy endureth forever. Forsake not the work of thy own hands. God doesn't forsake what He creates and forms, because He's your spiritual creator, your former. Don't fear. Don't fear. God will perfect His work. Number two, the second basis is God has redeemed you. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. And oh, beloved, those are marvelous words. That word, redeem, is not a whole hum word. It brings up to us the grace of God purchasing us out of slavery. We were that slave on the slave block, sold to one sin after another. Our guilt and our transgressions were our chains and our leg irons. There was none to pity us. We were rightly chained and in the grip of sin. We were without God and without hope in the world. There was no one who could bring us out except the mighty Son of God, who went down to that slave block and redeemed us. He bought us. He purchased us out of the slavery of our sin that we would be His own. And He did that at the cost of His own blood. Not with silver, not with gold. God did not come and pay gold as our ransom. But He paid, says Peter, the precious blood of Jesus Christ as of the Lamb without spot or blemish. We are purchased in the blood of Christ. We are redeemed to be God's possession. And still more, the third, God created us, regenerated us. God redeemed us. And number three, He irresistibly called us to faith. I have called thee, says God, by thy name. And young people, the calling, the fourth point of Calvinism, irresistible grace, irresistible calling, is one of the most humbling and comforting and personal of all salvation. The calling means that God Himself calls you. Come unto me and find rest in Christ. It's the voice of the Savior. You hear by the Holy Spirit, you hear the voice of your Savior. You've heard His voice. As surely as Simon Peter, as Nathanael, as Mary Magdalene in the garden when Jesus said to her the word Mary, and she saw, so surely have you heard Him speak your name. I have called you by name. By name means that Jesus calls out of an eternal foreknowledge of God, a divine and a personal election. That He calls us by name means personal, powerful grace within our hearts, speaking to us through the Word of God so that we hear His voice. He speaks to us in the preaching of the gospel. He gives to us an ear, and we hear, and we come. Are you afraid? What is it? What is it that you face? What is it that casts you down in hopelessness? Listen, listen. I have created you, and I will finish it. I have redeemed you in the precious blood of my Son. I swore that this morning to you. Right now, through what men call the foolishness of preaching, through the word, I call you by your name. You are mine. Don't be afraid. Now, just a few points yet on verse 1, the basis, very quickly. There's a few things that we can glean from it yet. So let's go to three spiritual subjects for a moment. We'll do some spiritual math, very briefly, some spiritual math. Then we'll do some spiritual English in that verse, and then we'll do some spiritual literature. So let's do the spiritual math. Look at the verse. God created and formed and redeemed and called. That's four. Put a line underneath it. Add those four together. What do you get? In the beginner's catechism class, here's an example. With the first, second, and third grade, we do from time to time spiritual math. They're very good at spiritual math. When we were talking about Israel in the wilderness, I put on the board, God led them. God fed them. God clothed them. God protected them. I put a line under those words. I said to the kids, what does that equal? They put up their hands, yes. That equals God loved them. Very good. Very good in spiritual math. That's an A. Now you do the math. And the answer, by the way, is given in the text. I created thee, formed thee, redeemed thee, called thee. Equals? Thou art mine. Thou art mine. The last three words of the text. Did you hear that? You belong to God. Why should you not fear? Thou art mine. We're His possession. We're not our own. You don't follow your own desires. You don't set the rebel pride on your heart. Thou art mine. So that's our spiritual math here. Now let's do some spiritual English. Let's pay attention to the tense of the verbs. Formed, created, redeemed, called are all past tense. They are all completed acts. We can call those tenses the eternal past perfect tense. When God said, I created, formed, redeemed, called, He's looking at His work from His own perspective, from His own eternal viewpoint, according to His own counsel. According to that counsel which He says in the book of Isaiah, as I have purposed it, so also will I do it, as I have willed it. Who will disannul it? That's accomplished in God's will. And then the tense, thou art mine. That's present. That's not past. You were mine. No, no. Thou art mine. We call that the present future. Now and forever. You are mine. you abide in Christ. And so God is saying that when He has willed to create, regenerate, redeem, and call us, when He has willed to do that, then we are and will be His in Christ. Why would you fear? What is there that can make you tremble? And then let's go to spiritual literature. And now, as we finish verse 1, let's just listen to the tone. You need to listen. You need to put your ear down to the Bible. And you need to hear the tone of the verse. There are times that God will speak to us in the Bible and use the tone of command. Stand fast. Quit yourself like men. Wait on the Lord. There are other times that God will use the tone of a father when their little boy is awoken in a nightmare. And he speaks tenderly, soothingly, and calmly. That's the tone of this verse. For the Lord knows our frame. He knows that we are afraid. He knows that we are seized with fear. He knows that we buckle. Our knees buckle. And He says, by your name, fear not, Jacob. I created you. I'm forming you. I've redeemed you in the precious blood. I've called you by your name. You are mine. What is it that you would fear? Now, on the basis of that comes the promise of verse 2, which is, I will be with you. And the promise is that I will be with you in the deepest distress that you could know, in utmost desperation. I'll be with you when you drown, and I'll be with you in fire. When thou passest through the water, I will be with thee, and through the river, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. The picture is of a swollen river. And one crossing, we cross that river not because somebody has foolishly dared us to do it, but because the pathway leads across that river. Because the destination is on the other side of the river. Because the cost of obedience to Jesus Christ, if we are to be obedient to the will of God, we have to go through the waters, through the rivers that tempt to drown us. When you're drowning, you struggle with panic. You gasp for air. Your arms and your legs have become like lead with fatigue. There's no one there to help you. You're drowning. And fire, as the house, as it suddenly engulfed the early morning hours, there's smoke in the house. The children, the baby in the bed, panic. I will be with thee. Now we are acquainted in the Holy Scriptures that these figures of drowning and fire represent the child of God in his deepest distress. A few examples. There is the drowning or the water of depression The billows of despair, Psalm 42, all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. I sink in depths where none can stand. Deep waters o'er me flow. There is the storm of the world against the church and the family of God, the disciples in the little boat on the Sea of Galilee, and the great waves of the world to swallow her. There's the water, there's the river of death, and the crossing of the Jordan of death that we will all cross. And then the fire in the scriptures. Peter says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial. That's the test of our faith that shall befall you. Don't think it's unusual if God tries your faith. Isaiah speaks of a furnace of affliction when he touches our body. God speaks to us in Malachi of chastening for our sins. I will purify the sons of Levi. I will purify you. Paul speaks to us of the fiery darts of the evil one. Satan's attempt to spread the fires of hell in my life. In all of these, I will be with you. Now let's look at that promise. I will be with you, negative and positive. Negative, the promise is not that God is going to remove the difficulty. He's not going to take away the river, the water, and the fire. The promise is not that you will miraculously escape and avoid. The text does not say, be careful you do not get into the water or pass through the fire. But it says, when you pass through the waters, when you walk through the fire. In other words, you will. You will. There is a way to avoid it. That way is to deny obedience to God, to deny your confession of faith. Then you can perhaps avoid some of that. But the promise is not that he'll remove that, but it's the promise in every conceivable trial of life. I will be with you. I'll be with you in the water and in the fire. Sometimes we say to God, Lord, if I'm going to be tried, then please do it this way. And do it on me, but please, please, don't do it on my children. Water and fire. We don't get to pick. Some through fire, some through water, some through water and fire. No possibility to avoid. But I will be with thee. That's the positive promise. And beloved, when we know and taste that, when we taste and see that the Lord is with me, then you would rather walk through the dark of trial with God than to live in the light of earthly ease without Him. When we know what it means that I will be with you, then we would rather go through the water and the fire with Him than to enjoy the smile of this world and to live simply for earthly ease and comforts without God. There is nothing more beautiful than this God is with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Young people, the Bible does not soft pedal evil. The Bible does not give you rose-colored glasses for life. Of all books, the Bible is the most real. It tells you who you are, a sinner. It tells you what the world is. And it tells you who God is. And the promise of God is, I will be with you. And so God does make himself known to us in the sunshine. With a healthy newborn baby and good times and blessings, he makes himself known that he is good. I am with you. But God shows his power. God lays open his arm. God reveals his infinite and complete satisfaction. God makes me still in my heart and know that he is God. God does that in the water and in the fire. When you pass through them, I will be with you. Faith is faith in God. And what God is promising us is this. The words of the hymn express exactly what he's saying. I will sanctify to you your deepest distress. Your deepest distress. I will sanctify to you. For I will be with you. We say to this, is that really possible for me to enjoy a life without fear? Can I face life without fear? Can I experience this? Can I tonight? Is that possible? Yes, yes. By God's grace, not perfectly. We learn it every day anew. But yes. First of all, this experience is the experience of obedience. Obedience. The context of Isaiah in chapter 42 clearly shows that the way of sin and the way of unfaithfulness to God and being satisfied with ourselves and turning a deaf ear to God is a way that will bring no peace. If you as a young person go your way, turn from what you have learned in the church, and you decide that life is about me and everything in the church, you question what you have been taught, and you believe that you have the right. You have the right, of course, to be happy, to go your own way. And you want what the world has, then I can assure you from God's word, I can assure you that you are probably one who will be able to gain much. You will probably get much of this. You'll go a long way. You will go a long way in this world if that's what you want. Only
you will lose one thing. Just one. The presence of God. But I can say to you, on the basis of God's word and the testimony of the saints, that if you walk in godliness, holiness, living no more for self, but by grace to Christ, faithful in His church, then I can again assure you that in terms of this world, it will cost you more than it cost your fathers. It will cost you everything. It will cost you this life. It will. But you will have one thing that no man can take from you. The presence of God. The loving kindness of my God, which is more than life to me. Secondly, the experience is trust. Trust, young people, is a life with a limp. Trust is living, the world says, you people live with crutches. You need a crutch. That's right. We have a crutch, more than just a crutch. Trust is placing everything in the hands of the Almighty God, that He will sustain me. Not your smarts, not your strength, not your charm. You take those things and you throw them out. And you cling only to God. You trust Him. And finally, we experience this in obedience, trust, and faith. Faith in the life that is to come. For faith is always that firm persuasion of our life in Christ, which is hid with God. And on the basis of that life, we live now without fear. The ultimate answer to how to live a life without fear is faith in that life that God has promised to me in heaven with Him. You cannot face life without fear if you do not believe by grace and yearn to live with Christ. If, Jesus' words, if we have only this life, if that's it, then there is only fear. But faith in God's promises in Jesus Christ, sealed to us at this table this morning. We know that when we pass through the Jordan, through the waters, we will enter the Canaan above. And when you know that, you will fear nothing. Take these words of God, hide them in your heart, and live your life without fear. Amen. We thank Thee for Thy precious word, for Thy word is truth. We would humble ourselves simply before the word of God, and we would hear it. We thank Thee that on this Sabbath it was also sealed to our hearts in the bread and wine. And now, having heard the word, fear not, grant us that grace that we may pass through this world without fear. In Jesus' name, amen.